Hello, and welcome to the 26th episode of the Not Your Mama's Gamer podcast, a podcast where we talk about games and gaming from a feminist perspective. I am one of your co-hosts. My name is Samantha Blackman, and I am an associate professor here at Purdue in wonderful West Lafayette, Indiana, where I study games and digital humanities, minority rhetorics, among other things. And I am joined today for, like I said before, our 26th episode and our kind of 1 year anniversary. Yay! But because the weather absolutely sucks and the roads are really bad, we were not able to get together and do our 1 year anniversary episode. As I said before, I'm joined by my two co-hosts, Alex Lane and Sarah White, and a special guest today, Adam Strantz. So let's start with the introductions. And how about we start with Adam this week?
Hey, I'm Adam Strantz, a first-year PhD student at Purdue. Sam, I've Dr. Blackman here, and Alex, we've had many classes together on gaming stuff. One of my major interests is, I suppose, games in general. I don't have as many perspectives as these guys on it, but I do have a long, long history of playing games. So I like to chime in with old crap that nobody's ever played. try to be helpful in that way.
So what you're saying is you are a straight-up nerd.
Yeah. One of those guys. Back when nerd was not cool, I was there.
No, you want to talk about back when nerd was, that would be me. Because I was listening to episode 25 the other day, and it was the point where we were talking, and I said, Alex Lane, I've been playing games longer than you've been alive. And you were like, really? And I thought about it, and I was like, shit, I have been. I've been playing games longer, like a long time longer than you've been alive. So, yeah.
We're the same age.
So I know we're the same age. I'm not the youngster anymore.
Yeah. Two babies.
and I figured it out. According to your ages, I was 15 when you guys. No, that's a lie. I was. You're 25, right?
I'm 26. Yeah.
You're 26. You're 26 too, Adam?
Yeah.
Okay, so I was 16. When you guys.
It's like Barry White. Yeah. I know. So you were 16 when we were born.
You were born. And I have been playing games since I was maybe 6 or 7, because those were when the first handheld sports games came out.
I've been playing longer than they've been alive, too, then, probably.
Yeah. Yep.
Playing Atari 2600.
There we go. All right, ladies, you want to do your introductions now that I've really told everybody, one, how old I am?
I know, I'm trying to do the math in my head, but I'm so bad at math that it's a little difficult.
We'll that's really later. Bad because that's an easy addition problem right there.
Well, I was stumped too.
You can go, Sarah. I'll go last.
Oh, okay. We'll save the best for last. I am up here in snowy Westville, well, Michigan City, Indiana, and I teach at Purdue University North Central, which is still open today. Darn. And I teach creative writing, composition, business writing, whatever they let me teach. And I like looking at games primarily from a psychological, psychoanalytical perspective, and in terms of narratives. And I just got a puppy named Edgar.
He's very cute.
He's so cute.
He was named after Edgar Allan Poe, of course, and his mother's name is Raven. Mm. And one of my friends said, when he pees in a house, instead of no, I can say, nevermore! Right?
Okay. Now that is a different kind of straight-up nerd altogether.
That's all I know.
That's good. Okay, I'll go. I heard a child, but...
So did I, yeah.
That might mean Sam's going MIA for a few minutes. Yep. Okay, so I'm Alex Lane, and I'm a third-year PhD student at Purdue University with Adam and Sam, formerly home to Sarah White. Yes. I study games and gender issues. Lately, I've been focused on the gaming industry and gender issues. That is what my dissertation is about, which I am making some progress on. I'm very excited about that. And that's about it. I stayed up till after 4 in the morning last night playing Plants vs. Zombies because, believe it or not, I have never played that game before.
Oh.
I know, I'd never played it. I sort of avoided it. I try to avoid games that I know I'm going to be totally addicted to.
Yeah.
So I avoided it, but on my Gamefly queue, it, you know, they just choose whatever is most available on your list, and that was one of them, so they sent it, and I haven't left my couch. It's been pretty bad.
That happened to my mom over the Christmas holiday. She got Plants vs. Zombies as a gift, and man, she just played it and played it and played it.
That is crazy.
It is crazy.
Is Sam here? No. Okay.
Sam is here.
Oh, yay.
I just had a joiner, so.
I see.
I had muted myself. So next up, I guess what we'll do is what you've been playing. While I talk to my little joiner for a minute and get her shuffled off, we'll start with, once again, our guest. And we'll cycle around to me last. What do you guys been playing this week?
Okay, I've been mostly Skyrim still, which is very shocking, I know. but I also picked up a couple of Steam games during the massive sales over Christmas break.
There were some incredible sales.
Yeah, like, you know, buy like 10, you know, $10 and you get like 10 new games.
Mm-hmm.
So I might have, speaking of addictions, Alex, I got Terraria, which I don't know anyone with it yet.
I have.
Unfortunately.
It.
Oh, well, there we go.
I haven't started playing it yet, though. Are we Steam friends?
I think we are. Okay. Maybe not.
I don't know.
That should be fixed.
Yes. Are you part of the Gamers All group?
On Steam, no.
Oh my gosh, Adam. Okay. Sorry. Sorry to interrupt. We'll remedy this.
I didn't like know what Steam was until like last year. Well, I knew what it was, but I was dumb, so I didn't do anything on Steam. But now that I have Terraria, you know, it's one of those games where you like, much like Minecraft, but you load it up for like 5 seconds because you're like, you know, I'll do like, you know, go kill some enemies or something. And then suddenly, like, you know, some giant monster spawns out of the ground and you end up fighting it for the next hour or something.
So. How do you fight it?
Running mostly. shoot it with things and run like heck.
Okay.
Don't fall down pits and die. I don't know. I'm very bad at the game, but you know that hasn't stopped me before.
I haven't started playing it yet, but I have it on my PC.
It's like relaxing too. You can just like dig tunnels and you find some gold and feel better for a little bit.
A lot of people say it's like Minecraft, only better.
There's kind of more stuff to do. There's more directions. Like, you can do kind of quests and stuff.
See, now I'm going to have to fire that up today.
I might, too. After I teach this afternoon, I might make... Because Terraria is going to be my game of the week for next week, so... Or next time.
Well, I know. I really sold it, I know, but...
you like
it's not quite stuff. As scary. You can build like I built a castle, you know? So then when zombies come at me, I just sit in the castle. So... It's quite fun.
I like it.
Nice.
That's it. That is all I've been playing.
Okay, I'll go next. I've been playing lots of stuff.
ho ho.
in preparation for... Well, I bet you've played more than that. You just haven't written them down, is my hunch. But anyway. So, in preparation for talking about puzzle games, I went back and visited Bejeweled. So I played some Bejeweled over the break. Bit Trip Runner... And its iOS counterpart, I think it's Bit Trip Beats or something like that, which is sort of fun. It's a fun iPad game if you play that. I played Zelda Skyward Sword, which that's the new Zelda game. So I have a mixed feelings about the Zelda game. I can see that it is an incredible game and really well made, cool story, cool mechanics, good use of the Wii remote, all of that. But it just wasn't my type of game, so I didn't get into it. I played it for, I don't know, a couple days trying to get into it, and I just didn't get into it. But don't think I'm hating on it, because I can see that it's a very good game, just not really my style. I played Eats, which is my game of the week, so I'll talk about that later. I also played Plants vs. Zombies, as I mentioned in the intro. And I played Clones, which is a type of Lemmings, a new type of Lemmings game, where you can assign roles to your little clones, and they can dig or build stairs or something like that. And it's just as addictive as Lemmings. I put a ton of time into it, but I wouldn't go into it expecting a whole lot new from, like, the Lemmings genre. The only thing that's different is that you can play some cool multiplayer stuff. And I can't find anybody to play with, so I just had to, like, watch a video about it, which is lame. Aww. But I know. I'm so sad. But the multiplayer features did look kind of cool, so that's a good one to check out. But that's me. That's what I'm doing.
Well, then I guess I'll go. Is Samantha in the room? Okay, I played Birds with Friends. And
I heard you.
Oh, darn it. I thought I could sneak it in.
She is going to get you.
I played Angry Birds, and I played Angry Birds Seasons, and because they're on my phone, and which I pretty much played at every opportunity. I also Chain Reaction. You guys know that one?
No, what's that?
You can Google Chrome. It's free. The only problem is that it doesn't go to very high levels, but it's great when you need to zone out. You have to make these dots run into this other dot, and that's really all of it. Wow,
that sounds awesome.
Well, no, yeah, but every time.
I hate dots.
It's probably, maybe it's so simple that it's fun, but every level you have to make more dots run into your dot that you put on the board, and then they explode and expand and explode and expand. You know what I mean? And then more will run into it, and eventually you have to get like 50 to run into the thing. And
I cannot picture this. Are the dots like moving around and you're like...
Yeah, it's sort of like the screen looks a little bit like old school asteroids.
Okay.
And then it's nothing with graphics. It's in Google Chrome for free. And you, like I say, you just set your dot down and they blow up into it. And it's really much more fun than I'm probably describing. But I played that quite a bit too, because it was fun to zone out with it. And I did still play some Red Dead Redemption. I can't get away from my Western game. But that's the extent, I think, of what I really played. Nothing too exciting.
I see. Did you do any puzzle games?
Well, like I said, I puzzled over the puzzle games, and I did play just here and there. I don't even know the names of some of them, but like addicting games, or you know, mm-hmm. I put in puzzle games, and I just would see what came up. But obviously, I have played Bejeweled Blitz or Bejeweled before, right? Mm-hmm. And I was still trying to think, well, what qualifies exactly as a puzzle game, you know?
Right.
So, that's what I know.
Cool.
About that.
Well, it must be my turn.
Yes, it is.
I played a couple of different things. I played Dr. Lautrec and the Forgotten Knights for the 3DS, which is kind of, I'll talk more about it when we talk about puzzle games, even though it's not going to go in the time capsule. It's kind of like a Professor Layton knockoff, except instead of being Professor Layton, you are Dr. Lautrec, who is kind of an archaeologist, but not a hero / quester, because he looks down on those folks because they're not basically true scientists. Mm-hmm. And he has... a female graduate assistant, seemingly. you're funny. That works alongside him. I'll talk more about that game later. I played that this week, in the time that has transpired. I have also been playing a lot of Legend of Zelda Four Swords, the 25th anniversary edition, which I guess last at the end of last year was a free download for DS owners. I don't think it was just 3DS because I'm pretty sure I have it. I put it on my DSIs too. So it's just a 25th anniversary remake of Legend of Zelda Four Swords. And like I've said before, I was not a Legend of Zelda fan the first time around for most of these games. Mm-hmm. So I am really kind of enjoying, you know, the resurgence of the Zelda games on the DS, on the DS platform. And Four Swords had me like sucked in totally and completely. I'll talk probably a bit more about that later. But it is where you play as, of course, Link, but you also get kind of a companion to go along with you. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of tag team puzzle solving and logic puzzles because you have to play as two characters at once. And one thing that's nice about this edition, the 25th anniversary edition, is that if other people have it, you can play cooperatively with up to three other folks. You just, you know, you play together. It's multiplayer. So it's actually pretty cool. And I have it on all my DSs, so somebody's going to have to play with me.
Yeah, I definitely will. It sounds awesome. I never really played Zelda much as a kid either, so I would enjoy that.
It's a whole lot of fun. And of course, yeah, I've been playing more Skyrim.
Dragonborn.
Yes, because I am Dragonborn. I don't know why anybody be surprised about that, but yeah, I've been playing more Skyrim. One thing that might be surprising is I've been playing Minecraft.
That is shocking to me.
It is shocking, I know. Uh-huh. Not just regular old Minecraft, but they released the iOS version of Minecraft. And since I was restricted to handheld games, and specifically handheld games that I basically already owned or could download, because we spent a good bit of our Christmas vacation in the hospital.
Yeah, I was wondering if we were going to talk about why one of the reasons we're delayed.
Well, we can talk about one of the reasons we're delayed in the hospital for good reason rather than a bad reasons.
As good of a partner, reason as it gets.
Yeah, good yeah. reason as it gets. My partner had a heart transplant last month. So we spent a good bit of time because it was actually not as much time as most people would think, in the hospital. But we are home, safe and sound, and she is recovering nicely.
Miraculously,
yeah. That's one of the good things about, you know, that is probably the only good thing about having a heart condition at a young-ish age, rather than old, is that you're still strong.
Right.
And you can recover from things. You can recover from things so well. But we were out of the hospital in less than 2 weeks. And she's home and she's walking around and she's doing things and she has more energy than she's had in years. And it's a really, really good thing. So we were in the hospital for a good reason. It was like the best Christmas/New Year's present we could have ever gotten.
I know, it like chokes me up just to hear about it. That's amazing.
It is amazing.
Especially that it was over Christmas and...
And we've been waiting a long time.
And you've had some false starts.
Yeah.
So
we're good. Minecraft. I was stuck playing Minecraft because I could download it on my phone. I did have my laptop with me, but you know, I actually stayed at the hospital with her. Whenever she's in for extended periods of time, they just bring me a cot and I sleep there. My mom was in town, so she and the baby were at a hotel across the street from the hospital, and they just shuttled back and forth and, you know, and hung out and did stuff. But the hospital rooms are not conducive to gaming, even if you do have a computer, because those, you know, wheelie wobbly hospital tables are not the greatest. and folks look at you funny if you're like wearing headphones and screaming and screaming at various characters on your
computer. That's what I would wonder is like if the laptop would probably be sort of obtrusive.
Especially in cardiac intensive care. So lots of handheld games. So I did play Minecraft. And like I said, it was more of a forced playing than anything else. Because it's still, you know, Minecraft, I can see, you know, the allure for some folks. But it's not for me. It's just not. I also played... Hold on a second. And yet it moves.
A baby.
I have a woodpecker in my office.
Tap, tap, tap.
Tap, tap, tap. So I also played And Yet It Moves on Steam.
It's my woodpecker though. Okay. My woodpecker.
I apologize.
That is the most adorable thing I've ever heard.
The contrast with Adam's voice is wonderful.
I know. I play And Yet It Moves on Steam, which is a puzzle game that is you know, Alex and I get off on the kind of graphics of some of these Steam games. This is one of those games that it basically is all done in paper cutouts, and it's a puzzle game. It's kind of Escher-esque in that you have to rotate the landscape in order to get your little man who's walking through a puzzle.
Sweet.
It was pretty cool. I played that. I played a bit of that. I played Bejeweled 2 and Bejeweled Blitz when they were also on my phone. But I played a lot of those. And because they're also connected to Facebook. And speaking of Facebook, I got drawn into a new Facebook game, Castleville. And this is one that Alex Lane actually has not joined me in playing.
It is probably the only one. I'm astounded with myself. I apologize with my whole heart and will join the second we are done with this podcast.
Sure.
I have no excuse. I just did not see it.
Wow.
I know, so everyone's disappointed. They can't even see
it. I know. It's
sad. Sad. And that's what I've been playing. Did we cover everybody?
Yeah.
And then we could do our next fun part is what you've been reading. And I'll go first because I only have one thing that I've been reading. I have my one of the things that I got a new Kindle over Christmas.
The Fire?
No, just a new Kindle. I wasn't interested in the Fire, and it wasn't a Christmas present. I bought it for myself because my old Kindle wasn't holding a charge.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So I got a new Kindle, and I'm glad I did. It was miraculous how, you know, you never realize kind of how handy some of those things are until you find yourself in a situation where you can't get out and go to a bookstore and do all these things. It's like, oh, well, I'm done with this book and I need a new one, or I don't like this book and I want a new one. What do I do now? One of the things that I started reading over a break was George R.R. Martin's The Game of Thrones, the first book.
Excellent.
Excellent.
It's an excellent book. It's you know, and it's pretty impressive. Okay, so it's a great book. And that is about all I've been reading. I mean, I've read a couple chapters, like sample chapters of other stuff as I was trying to find myself a way out of Game of Thrones. But you know what? There wasn't any way out. I got totally completely sucked in.
Yeah.
And those books are like 5,000 pages a piece. So I'll be reading them forever.
Have you seen the show?
Yeah, I have. I've watched half the series. I have the other half waiting on my DVR waiting for me. But one of the funny things that I noticed is I'm about 20% of the way through the first book. Mm-hmm. And I've already covered, you know, like more than half of the first season of the television show.
Yep.
I'm like, well, good Lord. So, you know, it's going to take like 3 seasons just to make it through the first book at this rate. But
which I'm okay with.
Except everybody be old and dead by the time it's done.
Yeah, I suppose.
But that's what I'm reading, to be perfectly honest.
I can go next because I have a book that's in line with George R.R. Martin. I read, and Adam, keep your appalling noise to yourself here. I've read the 4th book in the Inheritance Cycle. the Aragon books by the 17-year-old kid, if you are familiar with it by that name. It's so funny. So I really love the first 3 books. So I'm reading the 4th one on the way back from Minnesota. I'm not driving, obviously. So I'm sitting there reading. I'm like a half to 3/4 of the way through. We get home, we bring our stuff in. My book's gone. It's not in the house. It's not in the car. So somewhere between Minnesota and Indiana, I lost the book. My brand new hardcover inheritance book.
Oh no.
And I'm very, very sad. So I don't know the ending. I'm guessing the good guy wins. But
no, I was gonna say, I think they die.
I die. So I was super sad about that. I also am rereading, Homo Ludens and Lisa Gittleman's Always Already New. Homo Ludens is probably one of the first game theory-ish books written by John Huizinga. If you've heard of things like The Magic Circle and so forth, that comes from that book. And is also really racist, which, I mean, it doesn't surprise you because it was, like, in the 50s, but yeah, that was pointed out to me, and I was like, absolutely. So, that, and Lisa Gittleman's Always Already New, talking about, like, hot new media and technology and sort of how those things develop and change us and we change that. And so forth. So that's what I'm reading. I'm required to read those things in Sam's class, by the way.
Oh, I was going to say, but they sound really fascinating.
Only a smart person would say you should read that.
Yeah. Do I just cheat then? Oh, sorry, but cheat then? Because I'm also reading Homo Ludens for the same class.
Homo Ludens and Gittleman. Did you read anything else over break in addition?
No.
Not to put you on the spot.
I'll have to think about it, but actually was already rereading a little bit because we have, for our 106 students, we have them do a rhetorical analysis of a serious game. So we actually have them read a little bit of the first chapter of Huizinga. Not the racist parts, but we have them read the... some of the stuff about like when he defines what play is and they kind of talk about that, like the magic circle and stuff like that. The fact that play has to be like separate from real life. So they usually have fun kind of picking that apart. Usually just throw out stuff like, you know, there's plenty of people who for play, it's not just like for fun, you know, there's a lot of people who get paid more than any of us will ever see for, you know, playing a game, so.
And is it really fun when you're playing Plants vs. Zombies at 4 in the morning and you're so tired you feel like you're going to die, but you keep going? Is that fun?
Clearly for some people it is.
There's a type of fun called, like, masochism, right? I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a new kind of fun.
Well, then, I don't have Samantha as a teacher, so I didn't read anything neat. Only thing that I was reading were, because the Sycamore Review has such a huge backlog, or, you know, they've got so many submissions that they have kind of put out a plea to alumni to help. So probably for the last year, I've read their slush pile, you know, the stuff that they sent. So I've been reading fiction, you know, submissions. And, it's real fun because you get to decide, you know, the fate of the piece, you know, yes or no. I don't know if I've read anything really interesting otherwise, other than I was reading an article last night about the most sexist games in, I think, 2011, which was interesting. So just news.
Interesting. Fiction. What games were there?
I can put the link on our, the most, these might be the most sexist gamers on the planet. Okay.
Gamers? And
I can put it in our Google Docs. It was kind of interesting to read. I'll put it in the news.
I was going to say, I think it would be pretty easy to do most sexist games of 2011.
Well, yeah,
Duke Nukem.
Yeah, cough. When you have the release party in a strip club, probably not going in the right direction.
Just anyway, I posted it in our Google Docs. So. Anyway, so that's all I've been reading. You know, just getting ready for the new semester kind of stuff. So.
Cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right. So, the question that's always a good one, but never as fun as it is at night. What you drinking, folks?
I got a big old cup of coffee and ice water, not mixed together. That is a separate cup.
Coffee on the rocks.
Coffee on the rocks, because I'm hardcore like that. So, I'm boring.
Well, I'm drinking coffee straight up, because I'm real hardcore. Mm-hmm. But I am drinking, because I have one of those Keurig machines. And Keurig actually has a blend / roast / coffee called Rev, REVV, where they take the little Keurig cups and they like cram twice as much coffee into them, like really strong coffee. So you get like twice the kick in each cup.
Wait, if it's REVV, isn't that just REW?
No.
Oh.
In whose world would two V's be a W, Alex Lane?
Certainly not my world.
I think Rue is a pretty good name for a drink, too.
That's true. It's like a sauce. Rue.
Okay. I was going to say, but that's like a sauce thickener, not necessarily a drink. I don't think, if I saw something called Rue, I would not drink it.
How about like regret? I was thinking regret.
Oh, you will rue the day.
Rue the day. R-U-E, not R-O-U-X.
Oh,
I know, it's much funnier now that I've explained the joke.
Speaking of Rue, I had the most amazing chowder last night, homemade, not by me.
Of course not.
It had corn and shrimp, like tons of shrimp. It was delicious. Sidebar.
Oh, well, you people are drinking coffee, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm bringing the dew. I have Mountain Dew.
Diet Dew or regular Dew?
No, I don't drink Diet Dew. Dew has to be real.
Yeah, Diet Dew is gross.
Yeah, I mean, I'll drink Diet Coke, Diet Pepsi, but not Diet Dew.
I drank that when Lisa was in the hospital. There was the hospital cafeteria had throwback Mountain Dew stocked.
Yes, that's where it's at.
What is your other soda story from the hospital? You have another one.
Which one?
The Dr. Pepper one.
Which Dr. Pepper one? Oh. the man's Dr. Pepper?
Yeah, the Dr. Pepper 12 or whatever.
That was like the only diet Dr. Pepper they had. And I was like, I will drink toilet water before I drink the man's Dr. Pepper.
They probably wouldn't let you buy it.
I had to like flash genitalia in order to buy it, right? Like, you don't have to have ID, you just gotta flash, you gotta flash your junk.
I always sneak my money to Adam and make him go get it for me when he'll sell it to me.
I don't think I'd be allowed to buy it either, though. Not hardcore enough.
No, keep walking.
Y'all not from around here, right?
Back the way you came.
Nice.
All right, that got violent quickly. I'm sorry.
All right.
Can we do some news?
Yeah, it's news time.
News it up.
And our resident newscaster, Alex Lane.
That's not true. I just had free time. Okay, so free-to-play EverQuest 2 sees a 300% increase in new user registration, which might not be that surprising, but however, they also saw a 200% increase in in-game purchases after going free-to-play. So my question to you guys, based on this story, is this going to be the trend? We saw Lord of the Rings go online for free to play. Star Wars too, right? Star Wars free?
The Old Republic? Not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah, I didn't think so, yeah.
Okay. Of course, WoW, you still pay. So I'm just curious, what do you guys think?
You know, it made perfect sense when folks started going free to play, because one of the things that people don't like necessarily doing is paying a monthly fee for a game that they're not sure they're going to be playing every day, mm-hmm. even though most people who do play MMOs are playing them a lot. And we've already seen from the Facebook type games how much money people will actually throw at free games. You understand what I mean? In terms of buying extra stuff and coins and new quests and fancy outfits. I mean, they've been doing it for years with buying like EverQuest items. It started way back then on eBay,
mm-hmm.
right? Like armor and weapons and such. So, you know, it only made sense for the companies to start taking advantage of that. And rather than, you know, trying to tack that on, which some companies did originally, trying to tack that on to a monthly fee-based game, it only made more sense to make the game free and then sell the other crap, because people will spend way more money on the other crap than they will than $14.99 or $14.95 or whatever the monthly fee is.
That's free all to play I could pretty much be called microtransaction.
Right.
To
right.
play.
Right. Microtransaction to play, exactly.
All right. I love it. Next, moving on. OnLive app coming to iOS, which means that people with iPads and iPhones will now be able to use Microsoft products like Microsoft Word on their iPad and iPhone.
Nice.
I put that on there because I was really excited about that. So.
Yeah.
Might not be big.
I'm excited for OnLive, yeah, to hit the iPad.
Because
mm-hmm. There are some games that might be fun to play. I've played a couple of things on OnLive. Like I played Orcs Must Die and a couple other things. I haven't played any kind of huge games on OnLive. Simply because I need a controller to play most of those games.
Yeah.
And having a Mac, you know, it's not very conducive to hook in a 360 controller too. So even though I know it's possible, I just haven't done it. That's all I gotta say.
All right. I thought this one was really interesting. Foxconn workers threaten mass suicide if they don't get a pay increase. Foxconn, they produce stuff for Apple, Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft. And I'm sure you will remember, because this is the company that a couple years ago had to install nets because their workers kept jumping off the assembly lines and committing suicide. There was like 12 suicides in a day or something. Like people would just jump off. So they had to have these nets. I mean, imagine an industry where it gets so bad and people hate their job so much and it's such bad conditions that they literally jump off.
Suicide.
Like, oh my god.
Commit suicide and you have to install nets. Like, I want to know, the guy installing the nets, wasn't he like, something seems wrong about this? like instead of making working conditions better, we are installing nets. Like, I don't know, it just blows my mind. But anyway, yeah. So they're going to do mass suicide if they don't get their pay raise. So
wow.
So, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah,
that
which is. They didn't get, by the way, but I don't think anybody killed themselves.
Wow.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, I can't remember now. Maybe that was the last one. So, yeah, anyway. So there you go. So when next time we're playing our 360s, we've got to remember those people jumping off the assembly lines in China.
Oh.
Wow.
Way to be a downer.
Not to be a total downer.
Jeez. Debbie Downer.
I know. What is wrong with me? Okay.
And then, of course, there is our indie game of the week.
Am I still talking? Jeez.
Yeah. We like to listen to you talk.
Okay. I'll skip those two. Indie game of the week. Eats. It's weird. It's kind of like a Lemmings game. You're trying to get you have an eat, which is like a little character, and you put food, different types of food around the board, and to try and get them to maneuver the board in such a way that they get to this puzzle piece to collect. So, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you have some food, like, angry food, and then they'll be able to jump really far because they're angry. Or scared food, and then they won't jump off the ledge because they're scared. And things like that. It's interesting. It would be really fun for a kid, I think, to play. The graphics are fun. It's like a Berenstain Bear book, the graphics. I know, it's pretty adorable. The music is fine. It's not amazing, but it's fine. It helps get really intense as you're going through the game. And what I think is interesting is the slogan of it, which is "Hunger is emotional." So the whole premise of the game is you're changing the emotions of this eat to manipulate it to get to the puzzle piece by feeding it different kinds of food, right? That causes different kinds of emotions. So you're giving
some kind of weird eating disorder.
Yeah, isn't that totally weird? Oh,
that is weird.
So, like, yeah, I don't know. So the implications there are something to think about.
Wow.
They stood out to me. That is why I made that one instead of Clones, which they're very similar games. And I actually enjoyed Clones more, but I wanted to put this one as the indie game of the week because I thought the hunger issues in it would be fun to talk about.
Cool.
And next week I'm going to do Terraria, finally. So there you go.
Awesome. Thanks, Alex Lang.
No problem.
So since this is the first podcast of the new year, we decided to do a kind of quick year in review and talk about what our favorite games of 2011 were, as well as our biggest disappointments of 2011. And because we like to put our guests on the spot, we're going to start with Adam Strands this week. So what you got for us, Adam, for 2011?
All right. Guess should we start with, like, the fun one first, the good one, our favorite game?
Sure.
Yeah.
So I'll try not to choose something, I guess, that other people would probably go for. So I will say my game of the year will be not something obvious like Skyrim, but I'm going to go with Disgaea 4.
Ooh.
So, should I say a little bit about it?
Yes. Yeah.
I doubt any of you have played it.
Yeah, I
actually did play it.
Oh, did you like it?
No.
All right. I'm going to sell it then. So basically, Disgaea series is a JRPG. You have turn-based battles. You kind of gather a huge army together of people to basically take over the world, although the world in this case is the underworld, because you pretty much always are fighting in some sort of hell because you're a demon. But very pleasant. Everyone's very happy there. So they're all very fun.
Is that for real, or?
Yeah.
So you're in hell, but everybody's happy?
Well, you're in, like, the underworld. But, like, as demons, you're not, like, scary demons. You're usually, like, I don't know, stupid demons.
Fun.
Like, in this one, your main character, you're a vampire demon. Because, you know, why not? And you're actually a teacher.
I was going to say, you train other demons, yeah.
Yeah, you're an instructor, and he inadvertently kind of starts a rebellion against the king of the underworld, the president, because he was pissed off about something. And he inadvertently starts gathering all these allies, and he's kind of stupid, but somehow you amass an army and start training. And, I mean, they're fun games. You can get up to level 9,999. So they kind of promote that endless replayability.
Yeah.
You know, I know you love JRPGs, but I played Persona 4, and...
Oh, that's great.
Is it like that game where you don't actually play, you just keep hitting X over and over to, like, get through the toxins? Or is there actual play that happens in this game?
Yes, you play and press X a lot. You know, they're not much like Persona 4. I'd say the storyline is very key to kind of enjoying the game.
Okay.
Like, if you don't like the characters, you're not going to care very much that, you know, whatever's happening, I suppose. But
yeah, so it's definitely, you got to get in on the story, not just the play, the gameplay. Right. So if I'm skipping through all the quest text like I usually do.
So it's not for you, yeah.
Yeah, not for me. That's cool.
Pretend it's Aragon. You don't skip like 3 pages, right?
I don't know. Sometimes I do. Skip to the next dialogue.
Oh my God, truth comes out.
It's probably one of the reasons I didn't like Zelda as much, too, because there's lots of good story.
It works if you're kind of a math nerd a bit, too, if you really like tweaking stats and stuff. You're excited to find a sword with +1, you know, over the last one. Equip it to a guy, so.
Cool.
I'm just really selling it here. It's all right. let's just go. Okay, fine. Should I just go to the disappointment?
Sure,
then?
Go ahead.
Sure. All
right. I'm going to go with maybe a bit more of a AAA title. Right? I'll go with Dragon Age 2 because that game kind of sucked.
Say no more.
Well, the basic idea of the first Dragon Age is Dragon Age Origins, I guess they actually called it, because they were very focused on the origins. You could play as like one of four different races, as well as different classes. You could be like the poor dwarf, the rich dwarf, the poor elf in like the slums, the rich kind of like haughty elves, stuff like that. And you kind of led this weird, God, it was another rebellion, I think. I don't know. You led a rebellion or something against like the guys in charge. But people really got into the storyline. People really loved the story. You could kind of like train your group to do different stuff. So like it was action-y, but there was a lot of like kind of tactics and stuff to it. And they pretty much threw all of that out for Dragon Age 2. You basically just ran around and pressed X to like murder everyone around you in circles.
Yeah, that sounds much more fun.
You could only play as a human, so it kind of threw out all that storytelling that people really liked. I mean, I know people who really liked it, but it kind of changed so much. Everyone who was really excited for the sequel was kind of a little put off. And just laziness, they kind of... The game was super short, you know, they didn't actually, like, redo very much. It was kind of all the same graphics. You kind of would fight through one tunnel or, you know, a beautiful forest, but you were stuck in a tunnel through it. Kind of that, I think it's emblematic of a lot of these, you know, twos of games that they don't know were going to be super popular that suddenly get a sequel right away that isn't very good.
So they like try to put it out quickly and
capitalize
on momentum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, it came out less than a year, I think, than the first one. So it's just kind of like spit out.
You played Dragon Age 2, didn't you, Sam?
No, I played Dragon Age Origins, not 2.
Okay.
I never got I won't say I never got around to playing 2. I actually made kind of a conscious decision not to play 2 because I had heard from so many folks, you know, that it just didn't live up to the original one. Especially because one of the things that I loved so much about Origins was being able to play the origin stories of the various races, and then to be restricted to only being a human in the second one just didn't do it for me. I mean, and that doesn't say that when I see it like dirt cheap at some game store or online, I'm not going to pick up a copy. But yeah, right now, no, it's still not there for me.
That's good.
Yeah, it should be like $5. It's $5.
$5, I'll pick it up, yeah.
A friend of mine lent me Origins and 2, so I will definitely play Origins first.
Yes, you definitely should. All right, other folks, for favorite game, biggest disappointments. Anybody want to volunteer to go next?
Well, I can volunteer because we can save, again, the best for last. What? I'm talking about Samantha.
No, sorry.
Or Alex, either one. But I'm sorry. Yeah, I guess you're right. I didn't mean to.
Like,
he's a guy. Yeah, all right. Well, all right. Okay, all right. Yeah, that was bad. I liked Batman Arkham City because I like Batman. And it was really fun. And I liked the graphics. And there was cool things you could do. Like, the first part of it, I was in a church and I could go from like gargoyle to gargoyle, you know, and I don't know. It was neat and I had cool vision and all these little trinkets and, I was just really, I wanted to be able to play more of it, but I didn't get as much of a chance as I wanted. But what I did play, I was in love with. And I got that through my Gamefly.
So the constant bitches didn't bother you?
Well, you mean like Harley Quinn?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, and I didn't like their big old
everybody, and well, Catwoman being a bitch, 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 all through it.
Yeah. Well, and I didn't, I mean, no. I mean, you know, because they are kind of supposed to be that way, aren't they? In the comics and everything else. I mean, it's kind of.
I mean, but constantly being called a bitch.
Oh, that stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's only if you play through the Catwoman part of it, right?
She gets called a bitch all the time?
Yeah.
By all pitchmen and, yeah. Well, that's because you got it from Gamefly, so you didn't get the actual.
Yeah, I didn't. Content. Yeah, no, that's why I was like, I don't remember too much of it. But I about that stuff. But, yeah, you had to get the special pack to be Catwoman, right?
Well, it came with the game when you bought the game new.
Oh, okay, yeah, no, I didn't get that, but okay. It would pop up as if it was some sort of offer, but you know you can't do it, so you know what I mean. And then biggest disappointment, I have to think of my second biggest disappointment.
No, go ahead and go with your biggest disappointment.
Well, all right. Well, I was disappointed with L.A. Noire. The only thing I really liked is that you could just push a button and you could drive. You didn't have to, like, aimlessly go all over the place like with Red Dead Redemption. So I thought that was a good change to their game type of play. But I don't know. It got redundant to me. And the graphics were cool, but it wasn't as big as what everybody was saying. Like, oh, this is going to be just like a movie, and it's really stopped, you know, the special sensors on the face, and we had real actors, and, you know, whatever. I didn't notice anything spectacular that got all the hype. It just wasn't worth the hype to me. It was just the regular old Grand Theft Auto, but set in the 1930s or whatever it is. And
50s.
Yeah. Or 50s, 40s. Yeah, and so it has to be 50s because it was World War II, but
The past.
But anyway, that was my biggest disappointment, and mostly from gameplay, and just that it didn't live up to the hype for me.
Okay.
That's cool.
See, because I say go ahead and go with your biggest, because that wasn't my biggest disappointment. But you didn't like L.A. Noire from the beginning.
No, I didn't.
And I actually, and it's not my biggest disappointment, because I actually did really like that game, and I think, Alex, you did too, early on. It just got to be a bit much after a while for me, because the cases were just kind of starting to be repetitive as we got, you know, as we hit that third disc on the 360, it was like, really, here we go again.
That's exactly right. They didn't have a compelling enough story or enough changes in what's happening and twists and all that kind of stuff to make it.
To get you through that third disc without going, oh, for the love of God. It's kind of like Titanic. And when I saw that at the movie theater, like 20 minutes in, I was going, oh, for the love of God, just sink this fucking boat already.
Awesome. That's good.
You know, Titanic's coming back out to theaters, right? In 3D, so you can do it again.
Oh, yeah, no, that's not going to happen. And I have the excuse now of us being so seriously immunosuppressed that we can't go to movie theater.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to have to start hitting up people for bootleg copies of movies, because it'll be a while before we can actually go back into a movie theater because they're germ pits.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, not that I'm in favor of bootleg movies and, you know, video piracy. I'm joking to a certain extent, even though we were on our way to the movies when we got our call about a heart being available to us. So we didn't get to see Mission Impossible either.
Oh, well, yeah.
Oh, man.
But you know what? A heart is better than Mission Impossible.
That's right.
Well, you don't know, do you? Because you didn't see it.
I'm just making a wild guesstimation here, Alexa. Making a wild guesstimation.
No, I'm just kidding. Okay, I'll go next. My favorite game of 2011, which is going to be the same as my time capsule game, is Tidy Bang Story, which I have...
Really?
Yep. Which I have talked about a lot on here. The graphics were amazing. The music was awesome. The hardness level of it was great. The only thing I didn't like about it was that... I beat it in like 6 hours, and now I don't have any more to play, and that makes me very sad. But if that game went on for 50 hours, or 100 hours, I would definitely play it. Just all around, well-rounded, my favorite game of 2011. That, it seemed surprising to you, Sam.
It does. That one took me fast.
Well, Civ 5 was 2010. Otherwise, that would be my favorite game. But, yeah, I went back through and looked at the time I'd spent on all my Steam games and went and looked through my Xbox games, and nothing I would rather go back in time to where I hadn't played it yet and then go through it all over again, like Tiny Bang Story. So, nice. That is that one. And then for my biggest disappointment, keeping with the indie game, I have two. One is Trauma. The indie game Trauma, which was you were in this accident, right? And you're sort of like trying to put these pieces back together. But basically what the game is you have a scene and you have to like find the photographs hidden in the scene. So it's really stupid. So not stupid. I don't mean that. It was not compelling enough for me, but some other people might dig it. And the other one is Loom. Loom tied for my biggest disappointment. I was so hyped up for Loom. Remember, Sam? We were so hyped up.
And it was like, here's your intro level. Game over.
Game over. I'm like, yeah, I made it through the tutorial. Oh, that's the end of the game. And the puzzles were too hard, so I couldn't even get through the
Some of the puzzles were hard. Level. Like, if you couldn't read music, there was one that you wouldn't be able to do. And there were a couple of insanely hard puzzles in that one as well. Wow. Yeah, I can see that. I can definitely see those. Well, I guess it's my turn.
Yes, it is. Best for last. That's for first and last.
Eh? First and last.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
There we go.
Save the day.
Favorite game of 2011, which is a difficult one because it's going to be a tie up for me. The first is going to be the obvious for me, because I was drawn in, sucked in, and it ate my brain. And I am truly Dragonborn. And I've talked about Skyrim 15 ways to Sunday, but Skyrim really has kind of taken me there. And like I said, it was not unexpected because I really had kind of the same reaction to Oblivion, because Oblivion was the game that made me get off my ass and get a 360 in the first place.
Oh, wow. Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Yep. Oblivion was what took me to a 360. And I was sucked into it for a really long time. And I played it not only on the 360, but I also played it on the PC. And like I said, it's a tie-up. It's going to be really, really, really difficult for me to choose between that and to talk about the beauty of a game, the narrative and narration of a game, and ultimately the music. It's got to be Bastion.
Yeah, oh, yeah, Bastion.
Yeah.
If I had... Exactly. I listen to that soundtrack still in my car.
Yeah.
And I'd have to say if I just had to choose, simply because it is something that is new, and something that is unlike other things, unlike in some ways, other things that I have played before, and been the first game to actually make me buy the soundtrack. If I'm going to choose favorite game of 2011, I'm going Bastion.
I love it.
Aha.
Yeah.
biggest disappointment of 2011. Originally, I had given Sarah shit and told her she couldn't choose L.A. Noire because it was going to be me. I was choosing that one. But it's not, because I really enjoyed the first two-thirds of L.A. Noire in more ways than I can even express. It infuriated me at moments, but it was interesting. And I'm a big fan of the noir film genre. And I've played other noir-type games before, like the old Black Dahlia PC games. Oh, wait. So, there, you know... L.A. Noire was there for me. It's just that I kind of ran out of steam on it when it got a bit too repetitive near, you know, near the end. But I have to say my biggest disappointment in a game that I was really, really hyped for and even pre-ordered. And now I'm going to actually have to finish because I'm doing a presentation on it at RSA, is Deus Ex.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was a disappointment.
I expected so much more from that game. and for whatever reason, and probably because it wanted to force you to be stealthy in some ways, when I am not a stealthy gamer. I really am not. I am run and gun through and through. You can run and gun in some ways through that game, but there are some things that you truly just can't do.
We use so few, like, bullets and...
Right. And you know, so that would have to be my biggest disappointment. I'm going to have to go through and play that game and play it the way they want me to play it, which is going to piss me off in the end because that's not the kind of gamer I am. But there needed to be more leeway for different types of gamers in that game, in my opinion. Probably because I'm not the type of gamer that they probably had in mind in the first place. But I would have to say that was my biggest disappointment of 2011 because I was dying for that game to come out. And just kind of even when, you know, after you play through the tutorial and they're dropping you off at the warehouse and they're like, okay, basically choose how you want to play this game. And I'm like, really? Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. There needed to be more malleability in the gameplay. Right, you know, the game needed to do some work for me. You know, figure out how I'm playing this game and tailor the gameplay to me. Don't make me answer a question and force me to play the entire game that way through. Because I'm not feeling, not you know, some days I feel run and gun. Mm-hmm. Some days I feel stealthy. but don't force me to say I'm going to be run and gun or I'm going to be stealthy and now you have to do only this.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I think, too, it was, like, the amount of stuff. Like, it would take 15 minutes to walk down one hallway because you had to hide behind boxes and stuff. And it was just the gain from it was not worth it. But the story was really interesting. So mm-hmm. I wish, yeah, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't ask for this.
That's right. For this. I think we should have our caller in next. Because this, her question might go well with what we're talking about, even though we don't know her question yet. So, is there an Emily Legg present? No. Yes. Emily?
Yes.
Awesome.
Emily, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right.
Yay. This is my question for you. I was reading on Kotaku, and they had the Writers Guild of America gave awards for special outstanding achievement in video game writing. But the thing is that the only way that you can nominate these games is that these writers have to be members of the Writers Guild. So it left out a lot. I think the games that were nominated were... like Arkham City, Assassin's Creed Revelations, Uncharted 3, Mortal Kombat, and also Brink. So lots were left out. So my question for you guys is if you don't have to worry about the Writers Guild, what like five games would you guys nominate outside of the Writers Guild?
Wow.
That's writing.
Samantha?
That's a fabulous question.
That is a fabulous question, and I'm like stumped.
Me too.
I think for different reasons, there are different games, and I'm going to throw two out. I would say Skyrim 1,
mm-hmm.
And not necessarily for the actual conversations that go on. But more for the books that you find throughout game.
Nice.
There's some awesome writing in some of those books. I mean, it kind of unfolds the lore of Skyrim for you. It tells you, you know, gives you the history of the Stormcloaks. And it gives you the history of kind of all of the different sects of folks in the game. And I think that that was awesome. And that's like a metric shit ton of writing and a lot to read. So I think that that was a, that's a good way. So that's one. And I think, and then there were some really funny, you know, really funny moments. Like I was like walking through and this guy came through and threatened me. It was like, yeah, I just robbed you. As I was walking past like one of the thieves guilds or whatever. Yeah, I just robbed all these people. And if you say anything, I'm going to kill you. So I killed him. And then of course the guy who was chasing him comes by and he goes, have you seen him? And then your options are different. And the option I chose was, yeah, I saw him. He went that way. Not that, yeah, I saw him. He went that way and I killed his ass, but he went that way. Which was really funny. It made me laugh as I ran the hell out of there before he came back looking for me. But then I'd say the second for me would probably be Bastion again because of the narration. And that not that it was anything great or anything on the level of Skyrim, but because they had written, the game is written in such a way and the writing is done in such a way that it does narrate what you do as you do it, and it is extremely tailored to your actual experience. Mm. And because it is tailored to what you're doing, it actually changes your experience. Do you understand what I mean? So you have someone, it makes you feel more like there is someone who is watching what you're doing because they are narrating exactly what it is you're doing rather than telling you what to do.
I like that too, because like a lot of times they have that voice, but it's really generic, so it's just kind of stupid.
Right. Right, exactly. That's talking you through the story, but not saying what you what you're actually doing.
Right.
Yeah.
A couple things come to mind for me. One is Civilization, even though that was late 2010. But the descriptions of the cultures, and I've talked about that before, and even like the interactions of your advisors and interactions with other world leaders and things like that. I thought was, there's tons of text in that game. And I think that they did a good job being historically accurate with, some stuff. And obviously some things, are still very problematic in the game, but that is one that comes to mind for me. And then the other is, if we're going to go smaller game, I'll take Sam's cue here and do a big game and a small game. Trine 2. Trine has a really fun story. It's what I like about it. It's not, there's not a ton of story text and stuff in it, but it's really funny. Like the guy telling the story is it, like, I laugh sometimes out loud while I'm by myself playing. So, and that's really hard to do, I think, to be funny in game text. So there you go. That's what I think.
Wow.
Yeah. So there.
How do we know if the writers belong to the guild or not for the game?
I don't know. I just assumed that they didn't.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what I was sitting here thinking. Well, I don't know if they do or they don't, you know?
I just think something besides what Emily, the games that Emily said.
Oh,
probably.
Well, I don't know. Yeah,
I would throw in a little bit more for Skyrim 2, just because, I mean, maybe this is like cheating because it's not quite the text in the game, but like it's really, I haven't seen one in a long time since it, where you have that kind of like water cooler game where people want to tell other people like about what they've been doing in the game, mm-hmm. or like finding all the weird stuff. We're actually like filling in the little bits of story, kind of personally, but also like the little bits you find where you kind of have to infer a story. Like you'll find like, you know, an abandoned cottage in the woods and there's like, you know, a bunch of like alchemical stuff and flowers around, but there's nobody there. And you might find like a weird journal or not that kind of explains that somebody was living there, but where you find like those little ones that really make the world kind of seem lived in. And some of them are text-based. Like I found one where there was like this like neat little pile of clothes by like a little water, like a little pool or something. And there's a little journal there. And I was like, oh, this is pleasant. There's like somebody swimming around here. But then there's like a dead body floating in the middle. So I was like, oh. And then if you read the journal, it was like this girl was like, you know, I heard there's been like lots of bandits in the area. And my dad says, don't go out and like, you know, because it's dangerous, so don't go outside of town. But she's like, but I love my swimming hole, so I'm going to go and take a swim. You're just like, oh, that's sad. Oh,
that's really sad.
But, like, you know, they build those little, those, like, really tiny little moments in where it's like, I don't know, it seems very lived in.
That's cool.
Until you die, anyway.
Yeah. Well, you know, I found them. So, you know, ever the pragmatist, I took the clothes because, you know, why not? But.
Well, obviously.
They were nice, okay. But.
Cool. Sarah, you got
any? I don't know if I have another one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of in Adam's boat. I was just trying to think of something that would step outside the bounds. And I was thinking that I was actually going the other way, where I was thinking, like, I suppose L.A. Noire, those people belong to some sort of guild. And I don't know. I guess it was okay, the narrative. It had twists and turns I didn't expect, but I don't know if they deserved any kind of special recognition for that narrative, right? And Samantha, you played Dead Island. Uh-huh. You said that that was kind of a not a very interesting narrative, ultimately, right?
It gave you, you know, more in the trailer, it gave you more of an idea that you were going to have a grand narrative than you actually do.
Yeah. Well, and I thought of yours, Alex, your Binding of Isaac and its warped, twisted interestingness. And they probably don't belong to any kind of guild, right?
The Super Meat Boy people, what are their names? Oh, shoot. Who makes Super Meat Boy? Does anybody remember? Sam would know this.
Yeah, I don't know.
So anyway, yeah, the people who made Binding of Isaac, that game, that's what you're talking about?
Yeah.
That game was totally weird. You're right. That would be something to think about for nominating for best writing because of the levels of like religious subversion. Huh. Oh my gosh, I'm so glad she had to run and get her power cord, but I'm glad she's not here because she would make jokes about me right now. So the religious subversion and, you know, one time we were walking by the sign and it said, are you going to heaven? And they were like handing out Jesus literature.
And in the game?
No. This is in life.
Oh, okay.
Not in the game. And the game Sam looks at me and she goes, I know how to answer that question about you. I know, right?
I'll see you there.
So that was a fun game. Good writing.
Well, it always goes back to the fundamental question about these video games anyway. What powers them? Is it the gameplay or is it the narrative itself? You know what I mean? Like, what is the most interesting aspect? Do you need, or do you need the marriage of both? And I guess maybe you need the marriage of both.
Yeah, and certainly I think some gamers like some parts better than others. Adam likes the story more than I do. I don't.
Right.
I typically don't care about the story. That's why games like Tiny Bang Story are my favorite. There's not really a story there, but, you know, like, it's challenging and the it's kind of puzzly, you know, things like that. So,
right. And I like them for the story. And that's usually what compels me to play.
Sam always gets really mad at me because I always skip through when we play together, I always am skipping through the quest text. So she's always like sitting there still reading and I'm like 10 places ahead of her. And she's like, just stop for a second. The game is in the story. I'm like, no, run.
Not all, you know, and I've played games where it's like, I don't know why I wasted all the time reading, you know, or following the little movie or, you know, whatever, because you get to the end and it didn't mean jack, you know. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. You know, L.A. Noire did have a good story, at least at the beginning.
I thought so.
Yeah.
But the way it ultimately wrapped up, I guess, is a noir, you know, genre that tends to go that way. But I just was like, really? Is that's what we're doing? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It almost seems like good writing is kind of like, or best writing is almost like a misnomer, because it's kind of like thinking a little further back, like Heavy Rain had a really good story, but the writing was pretty awful. I mean,
that's a good example.
Yeah, that is. Heavy Rain was another good one that did some interesting things with the writing, but it wasn't necessarily good writing.
Yeah, which is probably, I'll assume maybe there's some weird stuff of that anyways, because I'm not quite sure why Mortal Kombat would have been anywhere near this award.
Oh, thing. Yeah, that's exactly.
Why do I need to kill that ninja over there? Yeah, that's
all right. So those are our favorite games and biggest disappointments of 2011. Now, believe it or not, it is time for our new favorite component of the podcast, and that would be our video game time capsule. It's the Not Your Mama's Gamer video game time capsule. So the way our video game time capsule works is that we have chosen a genre for the week. And of course, this week's genre is puzzle games. And we are each going to choose one game from that genre to include in our time capsule. Now, this is a time capsule that should be opened no less than 100 years from the date of our choosing. And this we do because we recognize that games are indeed cultural critique and have a lot to say about who we are, what we are, and what we do. And we want to be able to best convey this to our future selves as in the race, and not our future individual selves. So
I plan to be there.
You plan to be there. You're going to be there when they unearth this time capsule. So we will include in this time capsule not only the games, CDs, cartridges, whatever they are, but also the necessary hardware to play these games. So this week, as we've said before, we have chosen puzzle games. So we are each going to choose one puzzle game to include in our time capsule. And we're going to tell why we've chosen this game. Adam, have you had enough time to think about what puzzle game you would put into the time capsule?
Yes.
So tell us, sir, what would you add?
I am going to go with Scribblenauts.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. I didn't even think about it.
I suppose it's somewhat of an action-y puzzle game as well, but I mean, the goal of every stage is to solve the puzzle and get the star, so I'd put that in there because I really haven't seen another game before or since that has quite captured, I think, like the potential of utilizing basically whatever, you know, like whatever the player's imagination is to actually come up with something and solve a puzzle in whatever way they want. I haven't quite seen in a puzzle game ever again. So maybe I'll cheat and put like the second one in there because technically the controls are slightly better, but no.
Yeah, that's not a cheat. You can choose different versions.
Yeah. Yeah. All awesome. Versions. Just throw them
Scribble Knots is an awesome choice. I'm mad I didn't think of that now.
Aha.
Wow. Should have saved the best for last.
Yeah, snap.
Oh, yeah. I get snapped a lot. So.
I can go next. I've already talked about mine, so it'll be short. My biggest thing is that I was between Bejeweled, because it's like such a long-standing game that's been around for a long time, and I've been playing it for years and years and all of that. So I love that game, but I had to choose Tiny Bang Story for my favorite puzzle game because of all the reasons I already talked about. It's beautiful, good music, good sound, good story. Well, not solid storyline, I guess. I don't know why I wrote that. But what's cool is that the puzzles, sort of like what Adam was talking about with Scribblenauts, the puzzles are different constantly. So when you go through the levels, you're not solving the same types of puzzles. You're solving totally different types of puzzles each time. So you're putting together a photograph, or you're turning pipes to try and get water to flow through, or you're looking for puzzle pieces or something, you know, so it's always different. So that's what I wanted to put in as representative, what it's going to say about us, representative of indie games and that kind of stuff. So there you go.
Well, I'll go next. Mm-hmm. I thought long and hard. You know, I usually do. I do my little homework. I do my research. I have to go because, you know, English major, I have to dissect what puzzle even means, you know, and what we're doing. But I think I have the ultimate game that I will put into the time capsule, because I think it does represent us. It represents a game that is sort of timeless. I have students that are, you know, younger than Adam and Alex, you know, 18, 17, some of them, and they will pick this as their favorite game. And I think this qualifies. I'm going to put in Tetris.
I had a feeling you were going to say Tetris.
Yep. It seems to withstand generations of, you know, changes. It's the simplicity, perhaps, of it that makes it so beautiful. You know, I don't know if it's what it is about it, but it does have a certain way of staying around. So I'm opting for Tetris.
Cool.
Yeah, that's what I'm, I think.
Even though the whole kind of Russian theme is gone from Tetris these days.
Yes.
Remember when it originally came out, and it was, you know, you had the kind of the whole Russian theme, and that's kind of the whole way that it was set. It's gone from it now, so it's pretty interesting that they've kind of whitewashed it in the later years.
I do not remember it having a Russian.
No, I don't either.
See? I do.
You do. There you go.
What?
The original Game Boy version.
Game Boy.
Yeah.
Oh, that must be... I didn't come to it to Game Boy.
I had it on Game Boy. I just must not remember.
Well, you were like three.
Yeah, I was three. I probably was three.
Oh, it was originally designed and programmed by a Russian, Alexey Potobinov or something.
What year did it come out, does it say?
It says it released June 6th, 1984.
So I was negative 1 year old. So there you go.
I think the Game Boy version was like 89, whenever the Game Boy came out.
Yeah.
No, I didn't know. I didn't realize it had a Russian
theme. Had like the Kremlin in it. I don't know.
Yeah, it had the Kremlin in the background, and that was because now the background's just black. There was a Kremlin in the background, yeah. And the blocks fell down.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Huh. Well, even more reason to put it in, because I think it shows the kind of global, international, and, you know, it spans the time, history. Yeah.
All right, Sam.
Okay, this is a hard one for me. Mm-hmm. I like puzzle games.
Me too.
I play a lot of puzzle games because I play a lot of puzzle games on my handhelds. And I also play a lot of puzzle games on my phone. But if I had to, I was thinking about what my puzzle game would be. And I, you know, I know that there are the usual kind of blocky puzzle games, the Bejeweled and all the clones. Yeah. Tetris, Tetris, there's a Bejeweled is a Tetris clone.
Yeah.
So we've already got Tetris in, it's pretty interesting because I downloaded Dr. Mario for my DS, which was another basically a Mario based Tetris clone that came before Bejeweled. But I'm going to say that if I had to put one in simply because I like logic puzzles, and one of the first games that I think did a really good job for a handheld device of combining narrative and logic puzzles in an interesting way was, I'm going to say it, I'm horrible, Professor Layton.
That's not horrible.
And it's got to be the first one because I've played subsequent Professor Layton's. I play subsequent Professor Layton's, and, you know, they've just been more of the same. But the first one was the original one, and it was there, and it did good things. So I'm going to say the original Professor Layton, because not only does it give you the logic puzzles that, you know, we all love so much, but it gives you a good narrative, kind of a mystery to solve through these logic puzzles. And it spoofs Sherlock Holmes in really, really funny ways. So it also kind of makes that interesting attempt to draw itself back to, and I will never use this word again in this context, but canonical literature, even though the canon is full of shit. But I would say Professor Layton, yeah, for the DS. That would be my choice.
That's a good choice. We all had good choices. We're awesome.
There we go. And they're very different kinds.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. I see the Kremlin now. I was doing some image search on Google for Tetris.
Nice.
Interesting. Yeah, wow.
And that is our puzzle game time capsule.
Yay!
Woo!
Deals for broke ass gamers.
Deals for broke ass gamers.
There is nothing on Good Old Games. And in case you didn't know, all of the really good things were over the break, right?
Yeah. And I was really mad because I missed the last half of the Steam sale.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I missed something that I really would have wanted to buy but didn't need to buy.
There were good ones. There were a lot of good ones. Today, they have a game called Nation Red that is free until Monday. It's 75% off, so it's $2.50. Looks kind of cool. Looks like a killing type of game. And then the Dead Space stuff is 75% off.
You get both of them, Dead Space and Dead Space 2, for $10.
That is an incredible deal.
I always wanted to die in space.
Right?
And now you can for $10.
And then just for today, but we're going to put the podcast up today, so this is okay. PT Boats, 66% off. I've never heard of it.
Hmm.
But looks kind of cool. There's boats on it. So there you go.
Yeah. I think the biggest is probably the Dead Space on Steam. And you know, as you know, they were on the news talking last night about how many returns stores are getting now. I think you'll be getting a lot of excuse me, as people start to restock. Mm-hmm. You'll be getting a lot of sales coming soon.
Good. I like that.
Mm. Sales are good.
Yep.
All right.
That's cool.
So, actually, that brings us to the end of this, our 26th episode, or in our first anniversary celebration. Yay! It's been a year, guys.
I know.
Of the Not Your Mama's Gamer podcast.
1 year, and Sarah has been playing Words with Friends the entire time.
No, I haven't.
I'm just kidding. I know.
Wow. Hey,
and don't forget that you can buy our t-shirt, right?
Yeah, don't forget you can buy a Not Your Mama's Gamer t-shirt. Just visit the Not Your Mama's Gamer website. And over in that right column, you will see Alex Lane giving you action shots of the Not Your Mama's Gamer t-shirt.
Not my favorite picture, but that is okay.
And you, too, can be the proud owner of a Not Your Mama's Gamer t-shirt. And if you own a Not Your Mama's Gamer t-shirt, feel free to send us additional action shots that we will post to the Not Your, well, within reason.
Oh, yeah, you just opened a whole can of something. Boy.
We will post on the Not Your Mama's Gamer website. Until next week, oh no, until next time. Feel free to contact us via email or on our Facebook page or via Twitter. Send us questions. Send us comments. Feel free to send us recorded questions, if you like, that we will play on the show and answer. And you can do that by emailing us at nymgamer@gmail.com. Or visit our website at nymgamer.com. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
or follow us at nymgamer. Or look for our Facebook page, the Not Your Mama's Gamer Facebook page. Join in the conversation. Send us what you have. We'll be happy to interact with you in whatever way you see fit. So, until next time, folks. Stay warm, stay safe, and as always, game on.
Game on.
Woo!
Woo!